just got here again.
Yeah. And who would you say the big characters of the club throughout the years you've been here?
I think one of the main characters is Neville Southall. I think he was an absolute joy to work with. He said his sense of humour was very, very dry on some days. But we used to have, in 95, when we won the FA Cup, it was a bad season for the ground at Belfields, and we used to have quite a lot of waterlogged pitches down there. So Joe Royal used to have head tennis competitions. You know, we used to go in the indoor gym at Belfields, and we used to have head tennis competitions. We used to do all the setups for all the players. And one day we were doing the setups, and myself, a lad called Robbie Gillespie, who's now the deputy head groundsman, and two of the ground staff were playing head tennis. We just were knocking around. Next thing, Neville Southall comes out, Joe Parkers and Andrew Conchelsis, and Andy Inchcliffe. So we had a little tournament against these, and we were doing quite well. And ever since then, from about the end of October, we played head tennis every day for about the next 4 or 5 months until the FA Cup final. And we used to hide from Neville, because he'd say, "We're looking around for us to play head tennis against, because no one else will play head tennis against him then, see." So we used to always warm them up. We used to be the ground staff against Neville South, or, you know, Joe Parkinson, Andrew Inchcliffe, anybody else who used to want to play the ground staff. And it got to that institution that you had to play the ground staff before they did the warm-ups. And then the head groundsman then was Dougie Rose. And sometimes we'd be playing for about 4 or 5 hours. Instead of doing work on the pitches, you know, we'd be pouring down rain on the pitches, Joe Royal used to come out and say, "Have a game against the ground staff," or something like that. But the head groundsman, Dougie, used to go really mad about us, because he said, "Oh, no, he's got other jobs to do." I said, "But at the end of the day," he said, "it's all towards the club." It was great times then, see. But it was Neville Southall, though. Joe Parkinson was a fantastic. Andy Inchcliffe, Ian Snowden. These were all, really good people to work with. You know, the sense of humour, helping out, and all this is there. Sometimes you used to go to a pub and have a few drinks with them in the night time or something like that. You know, so, but apart from Neville, because Neville used to go out and drink and all that, they were all good lads.
Would you say the sense of humour, I mean, the people who come in from the continent, the sense of humour is different. It takes a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, it takes longer, because I think it's the language barrier as well. Except, some people, it's like the British, when we go abroad, we're very, very lazy with languages. But people from the continent, they seem to learn 2 or 3 languages before they come over here. Then, so like Zendros, he speaks 2 or 3 languages, so he's proficient in, English. So some people do adapt quite well, but other people are quite slow to, still in the shell a bit. But the Liverpool sense of humour brings this out of people, especially the characters like Jimmy Martin. When people start getting kit off Jimmy Martin, they said he just doesn't give any messing around, just calls anybody anything like that, so he just doesn't give a damn.
Jimmy Martin, is he the...
He's the kit manager at Finch Farm. He's been working there for about 20-odd years as well. He's got a very, very good sense of humour as well. He's under a lot of pressure there, but he comes out well.
And what about the current crop of players? I mean, you hear about the pranks and some of the current players, big characters.
Oh, yeah. There's some characters, like PNR, and I think one of the biggest characters is... Leon Osmond, because he's one of the old school, he's one of the old apprentice lads. He's always pinching our equipment at Hale Wood. You know, he's on the ride-on mowers and trailers and everything like that, and hides the keys or leaves the machines on top of the hill at Hale Wood. You know, he's always a bit of a character. You know, even Neville, Phil Neville, he's a good one as well. He's always got time to banter, to talk to the ground staff. Match days, and even at the training ground, he's always got a comment against us then, see. Yeah, there is just some good lads down there.
So what's your relationship like between the chairman, the manager and the players during your time here? Has it been good?
Yeah, I think I can't fault anything about working for Everton Football Club. You have your ups and downs, like every club has. You know, I've had problems with money-wise and all that, so we had to be... A few years we used to have quite an issue with their budgets and all that, but we've come out of that now, and the administration and management of the club has gone 100% better in the last 10 years than I've ever known it then, see. You know, it's still quite a tight format for doing budgets and accounts and, you know, all this stuff like that, because the money has to be controlled, otherwise it goes spiraling out of control then, so you can buy anything you want. But whatever I want or I've asked for, within reason, the directors and the manager is absolutely fantastic. if I can justify anything I want, I will get that either piece of equipment or a new pitch or a new training facilities down at Halewood, anything I want. It is a good club to get things like that.
Would you have a big say if about how your benefits are and your working abilities and because you're an Everton supporter, are the benefits at working at Everton outweigh anything else?
Well, I never think about that. When I come to work, I said I work. I could be working for Liverpool, Man United. I could even be working at Wembley. First and all, I get my job done first, and then second is play time. Then you can have your messing around then. But the main thing is you go into work. You do your job to the best you can do, in the best conditions, and whatever you can do. It could be Everton, Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal. It could be anywhere else in the world. But I got that condition, and all the ground staff who work with me, we do our job first. As soon as the job's done, and then you can start doing your complaining around, you can do your messing around then, see, but your job comes first. Even if you're Evertonians, Liverpoolians, we've got a few Liverpoolians working for us in the training ground. But at the end of the day, they're all professionalised, and you just do the job first, and then the messing around comes later on then, see.
Okay, but does it make your job easier being an Everton supporter?
Makes it harder, because some days we're working on the main pitch on a, it could be a European game when we played Fiorentina and we got beat on penalties. It's harder then, see, so then you've got to go back and do the re-divoting on the pitch, and all the players are coming past it, and then some are laughing and some are joking and some are serious. Everyone's got their own way of getting around these things, but I think most of the ground staff take it to heart then, see, because we put all that effort and preparing these pitches for the pitch, for the players, and then sometimes you think the players have done better, and some days you think they haven't pulled the finger out, and it gets us down a bit. But some days when they play well and the pitch looks well, and you get a couple of comments off the players and the managers and all this stuff saying, oh, the pitch is fantastic, it wasn't for the pitch, we wouldn't have a decent result like that then, see. And it helps everything go around then, see. It's like a cog in a wheel. Now, if we start the pitch off, it's and the players play well, everyone else is gets a benefit off it then, see. But if they lose, everyone else is on there, a bit of a downer then, see, until they win the next match.
So it's actually harder.
Yeah, I think it is harder. I think it is harder for being an Evertonian working for Everton Football Club.
So you've been here 22 years.
Yeah.
And what changes have you seen over that time?
It's been horrendous. I think the changes in the last 10 years have been more than any other time since I've been working for Everton in the employment of Everton. It's even the internet, emails, mobile phones, everything. It's just the communication side of it. It's gone like 100 miles an hour. I think it's because we're in this situation, being in the Premiership, with the Sky and the media, and that way the money comes in. It's just a high profile with their media and TV and Sky and everything like that. That's what's made a difference. Before, like in 1980, 85, 86, up to 2000, it was quite quiet then, see. You probably got a couple of people coming in doing interviews and talking and all that stuff. And it was quite quiet. It wasn't, just keep plodding on. But since 2000 through to now, like I said, it's just gone like 100 miles an hour. Everything's, just gone twice as fast. It's just unbelievable.
Well, is that to the fact that, football's now 24 hours a day?
It's 365 days a year. It just doesn't stop. It said, you think at the end of the season when we do our pre-season pitch renovations, you've just seen the pitch now. We've ripped the pitch up again, and we're going to relay a new pitch. So people say it's your quiet time in the season. It said there's no quiet time in football. It could be from the secretaries who's organising transfers. It could be for the administration. It could be the secretaries, the chairman, everybody. They're all still working. Manager's still working now, even if he's on holiday in I don't know where he's gone on holiday, like Florida or something like that. He's still looking for the World Cup, because it's 365 days. It's just non-stop, because you go home. I go home for the night time, and you put the TV on after you've had your tea or something like that, or you put it on Saturday morning. If I'm not working, it's either TV football or it's international football. It's all some kind of football on TV. It's just 365 days. You can't get away from it. You like football or you don't like football. And you have to like football and sports to be working in a football club, I think. Because if you don't like football, whatever you think you do, it's just that involved. It's just the media and everything. It's just with the football these days, it's unbelievable. And with the World Cup this year, it's even worse, because the season's been cut a bit shorter. to get more involvement in with the preparation of the World Cup players and all this and that. So every time you put the TV on or the radio on or someone else, someone's talking about the football or World Cup, even in the papers, it's everything's about football now.
Did the players who were going out over to the World Cup, did they come in for extra? Did they come in for extra training before the games? Or
no. They just Everton. They still have the format of doing whatever the training they do. The only other difference is we have people who used to play for Everton, like David Weir, or a couple of people come in and do extra training, like Joe Parkinson used to come down to the training ground. Because it's such a big family club, the manager lets other players come back and do a bit of extra training down here, and see if they finish the job up at Rangers, or I think Joe's working part time for Preston now, and he helps out that way, or they come around and see the kids training. But once the players have finished their training session, and once the season's finished for the Premiership, all the players go to their own clubs or something like that, or their own teams in the finals or something like that. Tim Howard's gone over to America there. They've just done 2 weeks over there now, and they're flying over to South Africa now. They all go to the different ways then, so they all have different ways of training. We've had that Scottish squad down here, we've had the Welsh squad training at Halewood. They have different ways of training. So
would you allow other teams? I believe LA Galaxy lads were over at a couple of weeks ago. Were they allowed on the pitches up at Finch Farm?
Well, the manager, we have an agreement. The manager asks for which pitches he wants them to train on, and we get these pitches prepared. It's not really, we don't let them use the first team pitches because that's just for our first team. We're a bit selfish that way because we take pride in the first team pitches for the Everton sides. So we have the academy pitches down there, which is, we're still, Premiership standard pitches, but we use them for the LA Galaxy or Scotland or Wales, or even if Trammy's playing someone like Millwall or Crewe or something like that, they come down here the Friday before and train on the pitches as well. It's that kind of family atmosphere that if we travel to somewhere down south and we have a problem with any train facilities, we can ask them as well and see. It could be Millwall. We can ask Millwall next year if we're playing them in the Cup or something like that. Could we train down at your training ground? It's scratchy backs. That's what it is.
Excellent. Well, you touched on it before, but has football become a bit too commercial?
In one way, it has done. But in my job, my industry and groundsmanship, I think it's been a benefit, because all this commercialism in the pitches has proved up that we improved pitch conditions and pitch styles and everything with the pitches. Because 20 years ago, pitches were like mud heaps. I know you have the problem with Wembley, but that's a different consideration. I'm really worried about Wembley. All I'm worried about is the pitch at Goodison Park and the pitches at Hale Woods. The technology these days for pitches now in the last 20 years is phenomenal. You've got different sands, soils, grass seeds. I go all over the country looking at different pitches, and we have different companies coming down with different products from ICI, Scott's, everywhere, from doing chemicals, Syngenta. We have chemicals for growth retardants, we have chemicals for growth rejuvenation, we have different fertilizers, millions of fungicides, because every fungicide has to be control, so it's non-poisonous to the players. It's all this sort of stuff. You have to have all these health and safety courses and management courses, the machine ways. We have brand new mowers, we have £100,000 mowers for cutting the pitches of Hale Wood. It's phenomenal. So I'd say the more media we can get in the football, the better off it is for the other parts in the industry as well. Ours is just on 100%. We started off at Hale Wood with one tractor and one mower. Now you go down to Hale Wood, like we've got probably got about £800,000 worth of kit down there, which is all consideration through to the revenue of football, and also to the Everton Football Club themselves, for the manager and the directors helping us out.
So what you said about it's about 10 years since this changed. Do you think that's about you're talking about commercialism? Is that the advent of Sky and the money that's brought?
Yeah,
in?
I think it is a lot to do with that then. See, and I think most clubs then weren't professionalised enough to compensate for this then. See, it's that they had directors and people who lived in the old world, the big boardrooms and around a cup of tea. But nowadays the industry now has got these new people coming in, high profile people who just specify and making money for the club, in different facilities, like with corporate sales, shirt sales, even administration and budgeting wise. It's just phenomenal. You have specific people for doing specific jobs then. See, as before, you used to have Jim Greenwood doing everything. He used to be the general secretary for Everton, but he used to do everything commercialised, and but it's changed 100, you know, even 200% now. You know, it's just phenomenal. It's like a big juggernaut now, just ploughing through the years. That's what it is.
And that's the amount of money that's coming.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's people who want to watch football. They're that hungry and watching football or any kind of sport. It could be football, rugby, it could be the athletics, it could be cricket. You see cricket now. You got the 2020 ones now. You had the World Cup. England just won that. It's just snowballed. You know, you got the, you know, even the normal cricket matches now. Like, everyone's watching this. You know, people have got more spare time now to watch these sports and to play these sports, and that's what happens. He said it's. You can see it in the products they're making out now. You got the shirt sponsors. You got new T-shirts. You got new trainers. New everything. Anything to do with football or any kind of sports. It's just like a giant juggernaut.
Well, just a quick question about you being grounds, and which is the best pitch in the Premiership? And I know you're going to say...
No, I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. I think, in the last couple of years, the best pitch I've seen and the most highlighted pitch in the last couple of years, like the last 10 years, is Man United, because that was being given some stick over the last 10 years. It's had rugby, it's had football, it's had European football on it. And people are always saying, like, Arsenal and all these other clubs down south, but no one's had consideration of the groundsman who's done it, Manchester United. I know Tony down there now is quite a quiet lad, and he won't take any respite for this, but I think the amount of work that's been done to Old Trafford this last 4 or 5 years, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, he's got turfed 2 or 3 times, and Alex Ferguson was slating the groundsman down there. But it wasn't his fault, it was just due to conditions. But he didn't have the technology to look after the pitch then, because Man United was so highly profiled, NC, when they're playing European football, FA Cup football, league football. It's being played on twice as much as any other league team because it's so, you know, successful. But now the management team down at Man United have looked after the pitch, sat back and say, we need to put the money in the pitch. And whatever that groundsman has done down there, and as for the, like, Alex Ferguson, is probably similar to what David Moyes is up here. Now, they want a decent pitch to play on all the way through the season, and that's what he's got nowadays. You look at Man United from now, this year, even last year, and you look at it 4 years ago, it's 100% much better. But I'd say, and that's what it is, people say, you know, Arsenal's a great pitch and Real Madrid's a great pitch and all that, but Man United, I think, is a brilliant pitch this year. That's what I mean.
So what about the relationship between the fans and the club? Has it changed over the 22 years?
I think it's there's certain aspects of being a bit more animated, you know, with seating and sponsorships and also season ticket sales. I think it's being pushed more for season ticket sales than see. But overall, I think it's been, you know, it's come up with the 20th century now, 21st century. People want decent facilities to watch football. You know, 20 years ago, they had posts in the way. We still have the posts here now, Goodison, but it's the comfort zone they want nowadays. They want the comfort package. You know, everything's there on the plate for everyone to watch. You know, facilities to sit down in, you know, have a cup of tea, and this after sales stuff. You know, the sponsorships. You know, the souvenirs and all this stuff like that. People just want everything like a comfort zone, really. Now that's what it is.
But the fans still have. Still want their say in the club and how it's run. And
oh yeah, we, as I say, I'm doing this this charity walk for Kilimanjaro now, and I was up Snowdon 2 weeks ago, and we had the Everton Foundation T-shirts on, and every time someone was there, it was about 90% of the people knew Everton or had something to do with Everton or wanted pictures with us or something like that. It's just, it's phenomenal. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on emails and all this stuff like that. No, it's so easy to get into Everton now. And, you know, as it is the people's club. You know, whatever the people want, they get. So we're having photographs taken. I said to people now, anytime you want to come down to Goodison, I'll have a tour around Goodison and show it all that. And that's what I do. You know, that's where we always have been. We always will do. We always look after, you know, the punters, then see, you know, the supporters.
Well, it is a difficult one. What do you think about the idea that's currently being mooted about Everton and Liverpool sharing the ground?
I should say no comments about that then, see, but if it is done like a Siamese pitch, I can't see no problem. I think if it improves the facilities and infrastructure of both clubs, I think we should do it, because I think we should move that forward If we don't, I think we're just going to stay in the dark ages. Liverpool and Everton, I think we have to improve our facilities, like the San Siro, you've got the Bernabeu, and even in Germany, you've got the German clubs like Schalke and Bayern Munich and all these other clubs. They've got fantastic stadiums, and we need to have a stadium to be up there as well. So I think we should either have a joint stadium or a Siamese stadium, just to improve the facilities for the spectators. Not for the players, not for the managers, but for the people of Liverpool. That's what I want it for.
What do you mean by Siamese?
The Siamese ones, you said they have two pitches, two stadiums put back to back. So they're in both the same position, so one pitch, well, two pitches in the one side. That's what it is. It's like back to back pitches it will be.
So not this, one of these you can roll a pitch
no,
in
not
one
rolled out. You have two separate stadiums but joined on one side. So that's what you can have. You can have Everton on the left hand side nearest to Goodison Park, or you can have, if you have it in one park, you know, Sefton Park or Stanley Park, we're thinking of doing it, then see, have one side towards Liverpool, one facing Goodison, then see. That's what I
would
think.
Would that cause problems for you as head groundsman?
No problems at all. I get on well with the lads in Liverpool. There's no problems. We have good banter with them as well.
Excellent. Did you work for any other club or before you joined Everton?
No, I as I say, worked for the local Liverpool council before that. I did my apprenticeship there, then see. And as soon as I got all my qualifications in Liverpool, as I say, I was lucky because the brother-in-law, as I said before, was a big Evertonian. He pulled this like little advertisement out and job description, looking for a job at Everton Football Club. So I just applied for that then, saying I was lucky enough to get the job. So I never worked with football before, and it was a big culture shock when I did move. It was a big culture shock.
It was a big learning curve.
Oh, massive learning curve. It's completely different from anything else I did before. I did do landscape work, and I did work for me Liverpool and that, but it's football, it's just high stress and pressure, from the start. But as I say, over the years, I've just been able to make my own way through, then see, and get the staff underneath me to work, with us, then see. So it's the staff who work with you, and that's a big help, then see, the staff who works with you, and get decent staff working with you.
Have you had an increase in the number of staff that you've had under your control?
Oh yeah, we started off when I first worked at Belfield. It was myself and two juniors. And that was it at Belfield, and that was, we used to work all the way through the season and even through the summer during the renovations. Just used the three of us at Belfield. And then when I moved up to Goodison, I employed two more staff. I wanted to take my position at the training ground, which is Robbie Gillespie, who's a deputy head now, and a lad called Paul Mutch, who used to work for Liverpool, but he was a big Everton fan. So I pinched him off Liverpool. It didn't go down well with the directors down there, but he's working for Everton now, he hasn't looked back. So over the last 10 years we've employed another 10 staff, so altogether we've got 12 staff at Goodison now, and plus two juniors.
Does that cover both Finch Farm and Goodison?
Yeah, we cover both sides. It's mainly you have 9 staff or 10 staff working in the training grounds most weekdays, and then at Goodison we have 2 or 3 lads working up here, depending if it's match day scenarios or just day to day routine maintenance. We have 2 up here then, see. And then we have apprentices. We have 2 or 3 apprentices through the year from different colleges coming out and doing courses down here or helping out on maintenance on the pitches.
So in your view, the future for Everton FC, where we are, stay where we are, move or?
No, I think we need to push. I think we need to get up into Champions League, get into fourth position again and get up there with the big boys now. I think we can prove it now because we had a bit of a poor start this season through injuries and all of that. But I think we have the same staff we have there now and the same commitment from everyone from the club. I can see no problem against the Champions League football next year. And that's where Everton need to be in the top four, like we used to be in the 70s and 80s. And that's the only way forward, is positive, get in the top four and push these big boys out the game.
Do you attend the matches when you...
Every match. I've been here every match since I started Everton Football Club. I've been to every match, all the home games and some of the away games.
Okay, and you were talking about the players' attitude. There's a famous Mick Lyons quote about Duncan McKenzie and his attitude when he came off, they got beat. And do you see that from different players?
Yeah, we get that. I used to talk to Colin Harvey a bit about that, and one junior said to him, I can't remember who it was, probably been Neil Sang or something like that. He used to be a trainee at Everton a couple of years ago, right? And he said to Colin Harvey, it's only a game. And Colin Harvey went absolutely ballistic. He said, it's not a game, it's a religion to working for Everton Football Club. And Colin was true blue. He said he couldn't do enough for Everton. And I overheard him when he said that. And I've just told the lads who work with us now, he said, it is like a religion working for Everton Football Club. That's what it is. You know, I've got lads here now who work Saturdays, Sundays, every day of the week because it's Everton Football Club. They go around singing, Zed cars or something like that. They've got on the mobile phones, they've got stickers in the car. They just love the club. That's what it is. That's what it means to people working for Everton Football Club.
Well, just a little couple of minutes about overall about your life and times with Everton and your highs and lows.
I had a few lows when I first started here because I just got married then. I had a new house, new wife, my first wife, and it was quite a stressful time the first 2 or 3 years because it was just a big learning curve, as you said before. And Everton being successful then, it was a big stressful part of my life then, so working for Everton for the first, say, 3 or 4 years. Then it seemed to peter out a bit because we just seemed to, take a back step because of certain things happening in Europe. Highlights, I said, my two kids being born, the wife and all that. Going to Wembley in 95 was a big achievement for everybody because I was just taking over from Dougie then that season, and I was taking all the responsibilities of both training ground and main pitch, so I had a big responsibility then for the games then. And when we went down to Wembley, the manager and everything else, Joe Rowe, was fantastic, absolutely brilliant. And the beauty, there's one little story I can tell you now. When we won the FA Cup down in Wembley, Joe Rowe, I was sitting next to Joe Rowe when we won the FA Cup in the night time. I was having a drink with Wally, Willie Donaghy, I think it was David Unsworth, Duncan Ferguson, and Joe Rowe came over to us. I was sitting next to me, my wife and all my friends were down there. And Joe said, we'll have a little party, Bob. As soon as this scenario comes off here and then we get back to normality, we'll have a little party. So I thought nothing of it then, see. And then, I was talking to Joe then, see, and I forgot all about him. So we come away from Wembley, with the FA Cup, we come down to Goodison. We had the first couple of games in the season, friendlies. And then one day Joe come over to us after the game. I think we were playing Man United or something like that. I don't know what we're doing, got beat 1-0 or something like that. And he said to us, I'm going to invite all the lads, all the staff to my house in Ormskirk. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, oh, so I'm going to invite you all. So all the staff in Everton will go down to my house and have a party in our house. And that was one of the highest, things that someone asked for us to do, to go down to Joe Rowe's house. So we all went to Joe's house. I told all the staff. So all the staff from Goodison, most of them went down for Belfield, and we entered Joe's house in Ormskirk on a Sunday afternoon. We all went in our shirts and ties, and the wives went in their dresses. And when we went to the front door, knocked on the front door, Joe answered the door. He had a pair of flip-flops on, an old pair of jeans on, and an old T-shirt on. He said, what are you coming like this for? It's supposed to be a party. And we went there that day, and I had the biggest laugh I've had for years. We were singing, dancing, and everything, his wives, and everything. It was just a fantastic night. That was just unbelievable. And that's one of the highlights we've had, that is. A few lows when we got beat by Liverpool in the FA Cup, but that's one of the things. We seem to have a couple of bad games against them. Highs, the FA Cup this year, last year when we got to the semi-final, I think that was a very, very good season we had. And the disappointment again, beat by Chelsea in the final. It wasn't that bad, like, because they played better than us. But it was a bit of a disappointment from the day. But getting to Champions League as well, Champions League, playing Villarreal in the Champions League, that's where I think what most grounds would want to be in is to be in the Champions League, because you've made it then, see. Once you've got matches at Goodison Park, Champions League games against top quality opponents is fantastic. Even being in the Europa Cup, it's a great achievement for everyone, because there's only four places. You can play in the Europa Cup and four places in the Champions League. So you've got to be quite good to be there then, see. You're playing the best in the world, or virtually best in Europe. And it's a shame we couldn't go any further. and beating Villarreal and getting a bit further on then, seeing getting a couple more games in the Champions League.
What pride do you get when you see your pitch on the telly and it's round Europe? And
yeah, the thing is with the TV coverage now, it's every game now. Every game's been shown on TV, because show highlights or everything. So the pressure's on everybody then, see. So all the lads, you know, they're so professional. We have different people who cut the pitch. Like I cut the pitch with one of the lads, and I make sure I cut the pitch. And I have one lad who does the marking out. He does all the marking out. One who does the nets. They have pride in doing different sides of it. I don't like marking pitches out. I don't like marking. I don't mind cutting the pitch. I don't mind doing anything else, but I hate marking out pitches. So we have one person for doing that. But in the 1980s and early 90s, there was hardly any coverage, because you had like match of the day, you show you about two or three games, and or we had Everton beat Tranmere or something, or Everton beat Crystal Palace, and that was all you got. But nowadays, you get match of the day or Sky Sports, and it's got every game on. Every game on. So it has been more and more, you have bad days and you have good days. So beginning of the season is great, and the end of the season is fantastic, because all the pitches look the same, nice and green, nice and covered over that. But around about Christmas time, it gets a bit stressful, because you have the snow, the ice, you know, the bad weather, you know, the winds, you know, the winds and everything there. So the pitches do get a bit rough at the edges a bit then. See, the goal miles go a bit burn, and the touch lines look a bit rough. You can't do nothing about it, because you have four or five games over the Christmas period. And it's last year we had Europa Cup games. You've got to think about 9 games over the Christmas period in about 4 weeks. And the pitch did take a bit of a beating then, see. But end of January, the pitches start picking up a bit then, see. So you become a bit more relaxed then, see. But Christmas period is a bit more stressful. It is a busy time for us. And that's where the money's made then, see, over the bank holidays, over the Boxing Day and the New Year's Day. That's when people want to watch football. Traditional football days, Saturday afternoons, you know, with FA Cups and all that. So it does get a bit, I'd say stressful and a bit uptight on match days, but it's nice to see the pitch looking good.
Would you want it any other way?
No. I wouldn't change anything for the world. You know, some days you have great days, but this is the beauty of football. You take the highs with the lows and see. Some days are great, some days are down, but there's more highs than lows. But I wouldn't change anything now. If you had the same job 20 years ago, I wouldn't change one thing. I wouldn't change anything.
Bob, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
I hope that's worked out. I hope those two.
I know.
Two,
I've told everyone before I was coming in here.
Let me just make sure, because.
I'm just sorry about that. I told everyone before. This is about the quietest room you're going to get.